Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Right, for taking your time on your Sunday evening or afternoon for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Hey, Jamal, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
Good, 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 good. Hey, listen, we got a number of things to talk about today, people. But before we get into all of that, we want to send some shout outs. Well, I should tell you first, we're going to be talking about family fire because we didn't get to it last week. And, you know, that has to do with, you know, these weapons in the home. And we'll talk about it. We're also going to talk about the mail-in ballot debate, the pros and cons of that, for those of you who didn't get our email blast. And also, we're going to talk about whether or not a civil war is actually going to be coming, guys. We hear so much about that. Everybody's saying there's going to be a civil war based upon these election results. So we're going to be talking about that briefly at the end as well. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see about that. Anyway, we want to send some shout outs. Jamal, you got any shout outs today?
I actually do. I got a special shout out today, and I want to send that out to Ice Cube, man. And the reason why I'm sending it out to Ice Cube, man, is because he's been receiving a lot of hate for something that he, you know, that he didn't do wrong, in my opinion. He had a plan in place for financial restructure of the black community. He went to the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats basically said, well, we don't have time right now, so come back to us after the election. And the Republicans sat down and met with them just to have a discussion on it. And because that happened, he's been receiving a lot of hate. So I want to send a shout out to Ice Cube because I support him. He's always been consistent. Always stood 10 toes down on the concrete. Hey, man, I'm proud of him. I like what he was doing.
See, that's the part that I don't understand, Jamal, about how people get upset. We just talked about this last week about how people get upset because you say anything about being a Republican or you support a Republican or anything. Because one of my shout outs, well, first of all, I got a very special shout out. This is personal to my own heart, people. October 16th was Jamal's birthday, so we sent a shout out to Jamal. Jamal just had a birthday. We were laughing the other day. I told him I was right there when he was born. So, Jamal, shout out to you. Happy birthday and many, many more, son.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Wanted to send that special shout out. But the other shout out that I want to send, Jamal, is almost along. What are you going to say?
You know what they say, man. Before I was mom's baby, I was daddy's little squirt. So I appreciate you.
Okay, Jamal. We want to go there, brother. At any rate, Dianne Feinstein is who I'm sending my shout out to. And it's almost consistent with what you're talking about because Dianne Feinstein, who is, you know, from the senator from California, a senator from California, during the Barrett, the Judge Barrett hearings, you know, she was asking some questions of Judge Barrett, and Judge Barrett gave her a good answer on one of them, and she turned around and said, wow, that was a great answer. She was impressed. Then after that, she turned around and said, you know, something to the effect. And matter of fact, I got an email on this, too, so maybe I should really kind of wait. But the point of the story is that I'm sending a shout-out to Dianne Feinstein for being so professional, and I'll get into the email that we got about her, and then I'll come back to what we're talking about right now. So let me go ahead and read the email. And by the way, as usual, if anybody wants to call in, I'll hold up this the number for you and the passcode, etc. So, Jim, during the Judge Barrett hearings, Dianne Feinstein acted very kindly toward Judge Barrett and even complimented her. She even complimented Lindsey Graham for the way he conducted the hearings and hugged him afterwards. Now many progressives were upset and want her to step down. They eat their own. She acted professionally despite the antagonistic attitudes of her Democratic colleagues towards Judge Barrett. Good for her. We need more of them to reach out professionally. Thanks. Karen from Omaha, Nebraska. Well, I mean, there it is, guys. I mean, the reality is that she did do that. And it's like, what's wrong with that? That's the problem that we have. And I'm not talking on either side of the equation here. I think both sides of the aisle don't reach out as much as they're supposed to. And here's a woman that's been in the Senate forever, quite frankly. She's 87 years, been around forever. And now these people want her to step down or step aside, whatever the case may be, just because she actually paid a compliment to Judge Barrett, B, a compliment to Lindsey Graham about how professionally it was held. And she hugged him afterwards. I mean, they're still friends. I mean, you know, and it's like, you got to be kidding me.
This is what I say, man. This thing is a whole big show. All of these people have worked together for years, and all of them know each other, and a lot of them are friends and stuff like that. And so, but here's the problem. When you compliment the other side publicly, then they have a problem with it. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, how are you going to accomplish anything if you don't reach across party lines? And see, and this is what I keep saying, is now on both sides has become party over country, party over the American people, man. And this has to stop. You know, Ice Cube is getting a lot of slack, man, because he said he's not a Republican or a Democrat. And people felt like, well, Ice Cube did something to sway people's vote, and that's why they mad at him. Why should he care if he sways somebody's vote when he just told the facts? You know what I mean? He feel like neither party does enough for us anyway. So what difference does it make if he sways the opinion? And it wasn't nothing he did. He gave both of them the same opportunity. I don't know, man.
It seems like just the way that it is, Jamal. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, they're talking, some of these celebrities are talking about if Trump gets reelected, they're gonna leave the country. Bruce Springsteen came out. Somebody else came out and said the same. Tommy Lee came out and said the same thing. They said that last time. There were 26 of them last time. And not one of them left the country. And it's like, if you want to leave, leave. I mean, if you want to use that for an excuse to leave, go ahead and leave. The way I look at it, that's ridiculous. You know, so at any rate, McCarron, look, obviously we're in agreement with you about this. It's true. Some of these people get really upset about this stuff. And, you know, they always talk about the right, the people on the right with all of this violence and stuff. Look at this. I mean, why would you get upset with this lady just because she said, hey, that was a good answer to a good question. But anyway, whatever. Okay, Jim and Jamal, this election has so many twists and turns. And now we find out that Joe Biden did have conversations with his son about Ukraine as proof from his son's laptop. These emails have made me change my mind from him to Trump. It is clear that Biden have profited while he was in office as vice president, and that is wrong. And also, CNN, MSNBC won't even talk about it. That is just as wrong. Keep up the good work, guys. Linda from Denver, Colorado. Well, look, the issue about the laptop is out there. You know, Joe Biden did say he has never talked to his son about any of those things. And, you know, this stuff's been released through the newspaper. So it's not like the Trump administration. It's really through the newspapers that are releasing all of these emails, Jamal. And it's like, you know, who ever believed as an example? Jamal, I talked to you about my business when you were 6 years old, but I started my company in the living room. Remember? So how does a father not talk to his son? He's getting $50,000 a month. Okay. And you mean to tell me he wouldn't call? Dad, guess what? I'm getting $50,000 a month. Come on. You know, that wasn't believable from the beginning. And now we're getting this information that he wasn't telling the truth about that. And it's true. None of the other stations, Jamal, were carrying that.
Right. You know, it's funny. The same people who were mad at Brett Kavanaugh, you know, for like even things like his allegations or really, let's say Trump. The same people that when the Trump conspiracies was going on, they believed all of that. So now that the Biden conspiracies come out, they don't believe that. And the same thing happened with Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh, the same people who were mad at him for his sexual assault allegations, didn't want him to be a member of the Supreme Court, are the same ones okay with Joe Biden and his sexual assault allegations. Now they want to keep quiet. Now all of a sudden they okay with it. It's so much hypocrisy to me on both sides of the aisle with this, man. It's disgusting to me.
It is disgusting, and I don't disagree with that. And I'll tell you, you know, I think all of us have heard over the last few days, Jamal, since we're talking about the media, this business with Facebook and Twitter, you know, where they are censoring things that's not consistent with their views are. And I think that that's wrong. I mean, they're using their listeners. There's no doubt about it. So I think that's wrong also. And they're going to get called on the carpet. This is a section of the government code, Jamal. That's it's 230. They can't be held for liability. They can't be held financially responsible. So that's interesting. And I think both sides of the aisle are kind of upset about that. And I think that we're going to see a change on that. And these guys are not going to end up being so powerful once this election is over. And these senators and congressmen, like I said, on both sides of the aisle, start looking into this. Because that's ridiculous. You know, these guys aren't supposed to be doing that.
Right. But anyway,
you know, we'll see what happens with it. I mean, some of this stuff, Jamal, after elections, they kind of get blown away. You know, people.
By the way, I want to say this, man. From now until November 3rd, man, and this is not singling anybody out, man, because I done had arguments on Facebook, Instagram, text messages with a total of about 10 people who are upset with me because I don't want to vote for either one of them. No more. Don't text me. I won't get on y'all Facebook saying anything about it anymore. So there won't be no more argument.
Well, it goes back to the show last week, Jamal, where we talked about how do you get along with people with different views, so to speak. And it's like, you know, what it really boils down to is just that there are people, and they talk about the conservatives, but on the left side, Jamal, these are the people that are blasting people, in my opinion, right now.
Right.
I don't see it the other way. I'm not saying there aren't any, I don't want to get the calls and the emails. I'm not saying that somebody on the right is a little bit more aggressive with some of this stuff, but you're hearing a lot more about that coming from the left right now than you do from the right. I'll just put it that way. We'll see.
No, people on the right, man, once again, man, they doing the same thing, man. And it's parties on both sides, man. And I think that's what's causing a lot of people in the younger generation to be more independent because people are to the point on both sides or wants to keep quiet about their party's dirt and not call them out. And I don't think that's right. Nobody's perfect. And I get that. But that doesn't mean you remain silent when your party did something foul and then you want to say, you know, fire. You know, people got to hold these people accountable, man. These are politicians who make decisions for our lives. So there's nothing wrong with, you can vote for them if you want to, but hold them accountable. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, even if they are of your party.
Let me just say one thing about this voting business, because there are people that will not vote at all. And I get that. But that should be on the presidential side because you can't decide which one. But the down ticket, okay?
So right.
Let's clarify that because if a person doesn't vote at all, there's things on the down ticket that have
absolutely
to do with local laws that should be passed or not passed. So we got to understand that even though a person may not want to vote for Trump or Biden or if there's a third party, whoever, you got to look at the down ticket. You got to look at the other things that are up for consideration with that vote. I mean, California's got a number of things that are pending right now. One has to do with Uber, as you know.
Right.
So there's a lot of different things. So when we say not voting, then I would encourage people to, if you don't want to vote for president, then at least look at the down votes, on the down tickets rather, because there's a number of measures that need to be looked at. I was actually going to think about for next week on the show to give opinions about some of those measures. But then I think about it, we have a national audience, so it's not going to be that important to other people. So I'm probably not going to do it, but I would encourage people to look at those other measures and actually research them. Some people just go in, Jamal, they just check no, 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 no. Well, checking no sometimes means yes. You got to read that stuff carefully. Anyway, let's not get on that bandwagon. Let's look at this third email. Jim, you pointed out, we just read that though. Right. Maybe I didn't read this. Okay, hold it. Jim, you pointed out Trump's alleged accomplishments since he's been in office. Putting all of that aside, what about how unprofessional as a president he is? He should respect the office by not calling people names, inappropriate language, and tweets. His behavior is intolerable, and that should be a consideration for the voters as well. Nancy from Portland, Oregon. Well, Nancy, I don't know. Jamal, I think I have said on the show before about that, haven't I?
Yeah, you've mentioned it before. You have mentioned it before about, you don't like his antics and his rhetorics, and you've always pretty much focused on his accomplishments and his policies and stuff like that. I don't think you've ever agreed. I think you might have denied some of his stuff. You know what I mean? Some of the stuff he has done. I will say that, but I don't think, but you never said one time or agreed to anything about his behavior.
The reason why I took this email to read this email is because of the fact that I want to be fair. Okay. I try to be fair with some of this stuff, although there are people out there that maybe not think that we're fair with some of this, but this was a negative toward Trump. Okay. But I don't think any of us can deny the fact that Trump does have a tendency to be unprofessional. But I will say that I don't agree with those antics. So Nancy, if you didn't hear me say it before, you're hearing me say it now. I don't agree with some of those tweets. Jamal, I've told you that.
But see, once again, here's the problem. And we agree that Trump shouldn't be doing all his name calling. But wasn't Joe Biden calling some college kid a dog-faced liar national TV?
Yeah, well.
But see, that's okay with them. That's the problem I have. They don't say nothing about that because that's totally unprofessional. But yet they're okay with it because they want to vote for him. I don't care if you want to vote for him. That's your right to do so. But why don't you call that out and say, hey, I don't agree with that?
Well, the argument that just to be on the other side of the other side of that for a second, Jamal, is that people are going to say, well, he's not the president when he said that. He's running for president.
He's running.
I'm just telling you because I know that's what some people out there are saying. He's not the president. Trump is the president, and he's saying it as president, whereas Joe Biden is running, is running for the office. But, hey, well, you know.
Well, what about Joe Biden's all these inappropriate behavior allegations that he's had and including sexual assault? See, once again, you know, where's the Me Too movement right now? Where are they at? Now all of a sudden it's okay? Now all of a sudden they're quiet? Come on, man, let's talk about this.
Yeah, well, you know, and there was another time I get these text messages throughout the show sometimes. At any rate, there was another time when he wanted to start a fight with one of the voters or something. He's been aggressive like that also. He claims to be in really good shape and all of that kind of stuff. Because remember one time he said he'd like to take Trump out behind the behind the school or some or sub such nonsense like that. And you look at that and say, come on. Matter of fact, that's his expression. Come on, man. Where's he getting that from?
And he was, man, would you shut up?
You know, I just got a text saying, you go, Jamal. Yeah. So they're agreeing with you on some of this stuff. But look, the reality is, look, I want people to understand, none of these guys are perfect, Jamal.
No, they're not.
These guys are running for, they're still human beings. And look, I getting back to Nancy. Nancy, I agree that he's unprofessional. We're not used to somebody in the Oval Office being as unprofessional as he is. But I will still go back to the same thing. I look at what he's accomplished, okay, for the American people. People want to argue that he hasn't accomplished these things. Look, we went through this a few weeks back. We talked about what he said he was going to do and what he actually did. So I got to look at it from that way. Just because, you know, he sends out these ridiculous tweets, maybe emotion piece of it. Okay. Some people say, well, if he's emotional, he shouldn't be president. Come on. All these guys behind the scenes.
Well, like I said, once again, that's the problem. We got two children that's running for president right now that act like a bunch of 7-year-olds, in my opinions, that both do name calling. No, Biden didn't do it in the debate, but he has, when somebody called him out on a couple things, he has called people names. And calling a college girl a dog-faced liar to her face like that was totally rude, but they went quiet on it.
Jamal, the reason why he did that is because obviously she didn't like the comment because she went back and talked about something in his past. Biden doesn't like talking about those things.
Right.
Now, you know what? As a matter of fact, the town hall meetings the other night, think about those town. I don't think you said you saw that.
I didn't watch it, man.
Right. But those two town hall meetings, we saw both of them, okay? And it's funny is that Trump went ahead with the same moderator that was going to be on there if there had been a debate. So he went into the den, Jamal. He went on NBC, okay, and actually took hard questions. And this woman was firing questions at him left and right. And that man was bam, 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 bam. He could have just cowered away. He could have just said, well, I'm not going on NBC. Yeah, I know what that's going to be like because they're not going to cater to him. Whereas the one that for Joe Biden, they're asking him these softball type of questions. I don't want to say, you know, hey, you know, what's the weather like today? I mean, it's not that ridiculous, but they're asking him questions totally all, you could tell it was all pre-planned, you know, the whole nine yards, man. It's ridiculous.
See, but once again, though, Sean Hannity did the same thing with Trump, man. And Mark Cuban called him out about that, man, and laughed at Sean Hannity. Said, man, how many softball questions was you going to give Trump that Trump couldn't answer?
That wasn't a town hall meeting, was it?
It wasn't a town hall meeting, but I'll say it was about 6 months ago when Sean Hannity was going easy on his boy.
Trump
really couldn't answer the simple questions.
Right now, I'd have to go back and look at that interview saying he can't answer a question. Normally, you can't shut that man up. He's going to answer it somehow.
Anyway, that's what was so remarkable.
Let's get into this piece that about family fire, Jamal, because some people don't know about the family fire. And I got another text. Tell Jamal I said he doesn't know what he's talking about with Biden.
Of course.
At any rate, I get these texts.
Just look it up, man. You ain't got to take my word for it.
You know, at any rate, listen, here's the deal. Let's get into this business about family fire. Let's get away from the politics for a second, okay? Because that's going to be emotional for people. You know, your phones are blowing up with these text messages, et cetera. Look.
Wait a minute. One more thing. I'm sorry, man, because now I feel like I'm on the road. One more thing. So all the bad stuff I said about Trump, I was 100% accurate. But when I pick out the bad stuff about Biden, I don't know what I'm talking about all of a sudden. Okay.
Isn't that how it works?
All right. Let's move on. That's family fire to me. Let's go.
Look, family fire. Look, getting out of the politics thing, because, you know, originally you guys, all of this started out because of the domestic terrorism piece. Trying to move back into some of that as well as things are happening out there. And you'll see as soon as this pandemic lifts a little bit, you're probably going to have more issues. If you're watching the news, you are seeing some things happen. In Paris the other day, this guy, you know, beheaded this woman because she said something it was an Islamic situation. So, I think the guy either committed suicide or they killed him, you know. But you're going to see these kind of things emerging as people start getting back out. Let's just put it that way. So the business about the family fire, and this is kind of a hidden area that people don't think about, but it has to do with, and we call it family fire. Think about in the service when a serviceman accidentally shoots another serviceman on his side. That's called friendly fire. This is called family fire, all right, is what we're talking about here. And it's because millions of people have felt the pressure in the last 6 months, you know, because this whole situation with the pandemic and having to stay inside. But the FBI has reported that they have sold more guns in this country since March, where people are getting guns and things of that nature, that as a result of that, you might see some other issues coming down the road. And that is children getting a hold of unsecured weapons, and that's what family fire is all about, all right? Now, first of all, 23,000 people last year committed suicide. That means people had access to these weapons. Family fire is all about people that, with all of these weapons being bought, that what we have to be careful about is, are you securing those weapons? Because some people are getting depressed or getting their hands on these weapons, things of that nature, and they're committing suicide. And that's very important. We need to be able to secure the weapons. So if you're out there buying these weapons, and I have friends that have called me and said, well, you know, I'm going to get a gun. Okay, you're going to get a gun, but just make sure that you secure it. Jamal, you grew up in a household that had guns in it. Did you ever have access to those guns?
No.
Not
at all.
They were all secured. So I just want to go through some things that I want people to understand about this. They have bought records of guns this year since March. And the experts are trying to tell us that you got to understand about you securing them. Suicide by gun compromises the largest portion of gun deaths in America. You have to understand that. And it's by suicide, not just somebody killing somebody else when you hear about these active shooter situations. We're talking about suicide. The link between between death by suicide and unsecured guns is a strong one. Having access to these guns. When I was on patrol, we had a situation where I got a call out, Jamal, because there's what they also say is that 67% of the people who try to commit suicide, if they're not successful the first time, they don't go back to it. A lot of people think they go back to it. But I had this one woman, I got a call out one time, and she had committed suicide. I had to go up in the mountains, and I found her up in the mountains. And she had taken a gun to her head and committed suicide. But The other side of the coin is we looked at her wrist. This woman had slashed her wrist. You could tell all the different slash marks. So it wasn't the first time. And she said this time she was successful with it. So she couldn't do it when she slashed her wrist with probably razor blades or whatever. But she got a hold of a gun, and then she killed herself. That made it a little bit more permanent, obviously, because it's, you know, that death can be instantaneous at that point. Plus, she did up a mess because she didn't want it. So she wanted to make sure that she did not survive that last incident. So this thing about suicide, you guys, but I want to talk about the kids also, because you got to understand, these kids get a hold of these guns as well. And you hear about that from time to time on the news. So when you're securing these weapons, you got to make sure that you secure them in a proper way. First of all, you don't have to make any major announcements to your children that you even have these guns. Jamal, you have guns because some of the work that you do. Did your kids ever have access to your guns?
Not access, but they was well aware of them. Yeah.
They were well aware of the fact that they were in the house.
Right.
Right. Did they have, but they didn't have access to them.
No.
Right. That's the point. We keep ours, and we keep ours in safes, quite frankly. They're being secure. So you got to understand that there's some tips I want people to understand, because I know there's people, first-time buyers that are out there with these guns, all right? You got to have a safe or a lockbox to keep them in, And that can be very handy for you. Some of the lockboxes have combination locks. Some of them have a key. So if something's happening and somebody's getting ready to come into your house, or you hear somebody, then you can make it very, quick access. And you can have it like in your living room, in your bedroom. Because if an incident's going to happen, it's probably going to happen at night. Okay, so that's what you need to do. So let's talk about store all locked guns, locked, unloaded, and separate from the ammunition. And people don't think about that. You should never have the ammunition in the same lockbox, okay, or in the same area. The reason for that, obviously, is because you don't want somebody getting both. Now, somebody may say, well, wait a minute. What happens, Jamal, if a burglar's breaking in and I got to go to two different places to get the gun? I mean, I got to go here to get the gun, and I got to go someplace else to get the ammunition. So even though they put out these kind of tips, some of these tips may not be as logical as you would think, all right? Jamal, you secure yours together. I do keep mine separate, except for the one that's most closest to me. All right.
Right.
That only I have access to. But because we have, as you know, we have multiple weapons. Okay. Because I'm a hunter. You know the whole story.
Right.
You know, so from that standpoint. But the bottom line is you could also have a lock. Okay. That's a loaded gun. So here's the difference, you guys. You have a lock on the trigger guard. Okay, that you can easily take off with a key. The gun is loaded, okay, and all you got to do is just release the lock, and that
brings
up the trigger. Okay, so there's ways to do it. Ask family, friends, and members of your community about unlocked and loaded guns in their homes. Have conversations with family, friends, and community members about responsible gun ownership. People take courses, all right, and when they take the course, in order to get the weapon, you know, yama yama yama. You know, they go through this, but they don't go home and talk about gun safety. That's another issue. They should talk about gun safety in the household. Jamal, did we have conversations like that when you were coming up? The answer is yes. We still have those conversations, quite frankly.
Right.
You know, now I'm going to keep going on some of these tips that they have here. The trigger locks I've already told you about. They also have cable locks. The cable locks are just a wire, okay, with a lock on it. Jamal, you've seen those because we have some.
Yeah, in California, I think you have to purchase that with the weapon.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
If you don't have a safe, I believe so. And when you purchase a weapon, I believe you got to have proof of a safe, or if not, you have to purchase a lock. That was a few years ago. It's been a while since I bought a handgun, but yeah.
Yeah, when I got mine, I didn't have to worry about that, but I did that anyway. Yeah, again, kids in the house, you know, whatever the case may be. One thing people don't do is that they don't talk to their family and friends, so that when they get ready to drop their child off, let's just say for childcare, and they drop the child off at a friend's house or a babysitter's house, do you have any loaded weapon? Do you have any weapons in the house? People don't think about that. You drop a six-year-old off, or a six-year-old goes by his buddy's house or a relative's house to stay there for the weekend, you're not necessarily thinking about whether or not they have guns in the house. And there's been issues about that, where the two kids, the 2 6-year-olds get together, or 8-year-olds or 9-year-olds or 10-year-olds, whatever, and they have access to it. And now both kids have access, and so they start playing around with this gun, and one gets shot, you know, and sometimes they've been killed. So when you're dropping your kids off or your grandkids off, family, friends, other places in the community, people to play sports with them, ask the parents those kind of questions. Are they are they secure?
You know, interesting you should say that, man. I have a good friend of mine. I hope he's listening to the show today, man. And shout out to him. He'll know who I'm talking about. But you can't step foot in, nowhere in that man's house without there being a gun somewhere. If you sit down on the couch, there's probably 3 tucked in the couch. I mean, but he was also, like, literally, I went to lean on something. He said, hey, be careful, my shotgun's right. And I didn't even see the thing right there, man. You know what I mean? But he was also the victim of a home invasion robbery over 20 years ago, too. So he made sure that his house is very secure now.
Well, I got a text message that one of these people that texted me said, also, you can get biometric locks. I didn't know about. Did you know about biometric locks, Jamal?
Is that the hand one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put your hand on there so you can have access to it a lot quicker.
Never even thought about it.
My same friend of mine, his wife wears one around her neck. It has like a little keychain, and it's light enough. It's called an air light. 22 pistol. So she has one walking around the house.
Well, I don't even want to know who that friend is, and I'm sure I'm never going to their house. I mean, everybody's walking around with guns inside the house. But whatever.
I feel safe.
Yeah, I bet you do, unless they get pissed off at you. At any rate, so always talk about gun responsibility with family, friends, and the people in the community, make a long story short.
Right.
So, look, that's what it is about the family fire. 4.6 million children live in homes with access to unlocked or unsupervised guns. 4.6 million, and the numbers are going up. And over 70% of kids know where the gun is stored in their home. Locking all household firearms could reduce firearm suicide and unintentional firearm fatalities amongst the youth by up to 32%. So, you know, for those of you that have been the longstanding listeners, I've talked about the active shooters with some of these young children to get access to these guns. And some of these active shooters, as my listeners know, are juveniles, you know, and are, you know, they've gotten access to these guns and shot and killed people because they know where they are. So parents, please be responsible with those weapons, and especially the new weapon owners. All right. You're doing gun safety, but understand that there's a bigger picture that's involved with owning that gun. All right. Jamal, any last thoughts on that? Go ahead.
Yeah. You know what, too? I think what's important, too, is not to necessarily have a fear of your kids being around guns. I think you should train your kids at a very early age. I believe I was like 8 or 9 years old when I started going to the gun range, because you never know, even though you might ask the parents of the, you know, where you dropping your kid off at, you never know. Your kids could be anywhere at a park or find a gun, you know, thrown somewhere. It'd be a smart thing for your kid to learn how to disarm that thing before one of your friends get a hold of it and do something crazy.
Yeah, I came across some pictures the other day, Jamal. I know what you're talking about. I took you and Jermaine to the gun range when you guys were young. Part of the reason for that was, for one thing, I was also a hunter, so I like to hunt. And I was hoping you guys would get into hunting, so I was teaching you not only handguns, but I was teaching you, you know, with larger hunting style weapons. I never got into these ARs and all of that kind of stuff. I just never got into that.
Hey, my brother will never forget.
I know. We call him a scope head. People say, huh, what's a scope head? A scope head is because when he was looking through the scope, I told him he was a little bit too close, you know, and looking through it. I'm fine, Daddy. Okay, man. And he went ahead and pulled that trigger, and that gun, you know, because of the power of the gun, pushed back and left a half moon right there.
Well, he had the 30-06 under his arm instead of against his shoulder.
Right.
And we told him put it up against your shoulder.
Right.
But he was scared that it might dislocate his shoulder because of the kick, and he put it under his arm. Yeah.
Right.
So he has a permanent scar. That's so why it's important to listen.
They got nicknamed Scopehead. But at any rate, it is important to listen to those things, you know.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, we didn't let him go ahead and do it that way because we thought he was going to end up with that. Let's make that clear. Okay? Because
right.
We never do anything to hurt him. We didn't know that was going to be the end result. We just thought that the target, the way that it was going to go off, was that he was not going to hit the target because he wasn't holding the gun properly. That's what we thought. Okay?
Right.
But obviously, you know, because of that, he ended up getting hurt. And I call myself an experienced person. I mean, I've been around guns since I was, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, probably even younger than that, quite frankly, in upstate New York. But at any rate, okay, everybody, please just be careful out there. Jamal, let's move on to this business about voting by mail. All right. Look, 26 million people have already voted. Now, think about that. That means the upcoming debate, those 26 million people don't know how it's going to turn out. And quite frankly, Jamal, they probably don't care. There are a lot of people out there that already have their minds made up. But there's a big controversy between the Democrats and the Republicans regarding this business about mail-in votes, okay? Now, look, we've had absenteeism ballots, okay? That part is not what they're talking about. So that's not, they're saying because of the pandemic that people can now vote by sending in their vote and letting it be counted that way so they don't have to stand in these lines or put themselves at risk or whatever the case may be. Now, we got ours, okay? But we're not going to do it that way. We're going to go stand in line. We want to make sure that when we vote, we're not, you know, worried about the mail or, you know, dropping us off here. We're going to walk in into a voting booth and we're going to make our choice at that point. So it's what I did. I looked up, because it is such a controversy, I wanted to look up the pros and cons, okay? And we've already discussed them. I'll jump in at any point. But the reason for the mail-in, let's start with that, okay, is that mail-in voting will save lives by allowing people to stay away from the polling sites. Documented cases of mail ballot fraud are rare, okay? The Conservative Heritage Foundation examined a record in Oregon, which has conducted mail election since 1998 and found 14 cases of attempted mail fraud out of 15.5 million ballots cast. Well, I think that's important. Those are good numbers to know because they're arguing, you know, about this fraud. Mail-in voting increases voter participation, they say, but not dramatically. And there was a Stanford University study looking at mail-in voting in three states that found it increased voting turnout by 2%. Okay, that's still okay. There's no evidence to suggest that it favors one party over the other. And the same Stanford study noted above all, I also found that the increased voting changed the magnitude of the voting. So it didn't favor any racial, age, or economic group. Mail-in voting reduced the cost of recruiting and training poll workers, and it eases the task of finding suitable polling locations. Okay, those are the reasons what they're saying for. They're trying to tell us that, look, it's not a big deal, okay? And I know that the Trump administration is talking about this, and on the Republican side that they're concerned because of the fact that they're concerned with fraud and things of that nature. So, you know, everybody's got a story to tell, but again, I wanted to look up some pros and cons, you know, and you can see these are based on some studies. Go ahead, Jamal.
I don't know the whole story. So our listeners, please tap in and send us a message. But then isn't there some incident or something like that Republicans are being blamed for recently setting up fake voter ballots or something like that?
Well,
something
boxes, happened Jamal, recently. It's what you were talking about was the boxes down in Orange County, California, that these voter boxes were put around. Let me come back to that, though, okay? That's what you're talking about. So now I gave you and the listeners the reasons for mail-in voting. So now let's go to the opposite side and talk about mail-in voting reasons against. Voter registration rolls can be inaccurate. Now think about that. Voter registration rolls can be inaccurate. There's people that have passed away, people that have moved. Even one of our, you know, even your brother that moved, okay? You know, Zaylor, he lives in Minnesota. We got voting stuff for him here. People can take something like that. I laugh with them, and I tell them, oh, guess what? I'm going to use your voter registration thing, and I'm going to send it in voting for Trump. But, of course, I was just joking, okay? Right. He's not a Trump fan. He's a Biden fan. But I was just joking. The point is there's people that may take advantage of that. So that's what they say, that the voter registration rolls can be inaccurate. In January, the state of California and the county of Los Angeles agreed to remove 1.5 million inactive names for voter registration rolls. And that was based upon a lawsuit. And that was the only reason why they were going to do it. They were being sued. The next one is, I guess, is that casting ballots outside the public eye may lend itself to voter impersonation and coercion. On top of that, next one, although supporters say fraud is rare, the likelihood of voter fraud is somewhat higher with mail ballots. And quite frankly, with everything that's going on now, hey, I don't know. I just got another text message. A friend whose mother has been passed away 7 years ago and a brother 5 years ago, they still get ballots at the Dale. They still get ballots. And these people have been deceased. I mean, that's just another example. We got a caller coming in, so let's see what we got here.
Yeah, Jim.
All right, this is Jersey Jim. I couldn't make it through the net. All the reasons against you, Jim. But go ahead, Jim. What do you got?
Well, I voted mail-in ballot 2 weeks ago. I just walked into the post office. I had something else to mail, but I also had just handed it to the clerk, and he said, "Yeah, a lot of people have been coming today." So I have no problem voting. The only reason is a controversy about mail-in voting because Trump created that controversy.
Okay.
He created the controversy.
Okay.
Didn't he? He started to question the validity. He said it was going to be rigged. He said it was going to be, I mean, nobody had a problem with mail-in voting before this year.
Okay.
It's true.
There was mail-in
voting. Isn't it true?
Absenteeism voting. Okay. The other side of the coin is, I'm going to read some of these cases that these there's been some problems with the mail voting systems this year. Wisconsin, 9,000 requests. I'm reading this off of research off the internet. This is not something Donald Trump sent me, you guys, okay? Wisconsin, 9,000 requested ballots were never sent. Others recorded as sent were never received, and thousands were postmarked too late to count. I've got three of these, so just hold on, guys, four. In New Jersey, where Jersey Jim is from, 9.6% of mail ballots cast in that state's May 12th local elections and 31 municipalities were rejected because signatures didn't match ones of file or they arrived too late. Two more, hold on. In Pennsylvania, tens of thousands of votes were either not cast or not counted due to deadline confusion. And the last one, New York City's June 23rd primary resulted in a flood of mail ballots and the mishandling of tens of thousands of them. Of the 403,103 mail-in ballots for the city's Democratic primary, by the way, more than 84,000 were rejected. So that's not Trump, okay? Wisconsin, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York City. Those are the kind of concerns that people are expressing. That's all that we're saying.
Well, ballots have to be rejected if the signatures don't match.
Well,
then you have voter fraud.
Okay, that's what they're talking about, though. So what we're saying is that, look, I personally don't have an issue with mail-in ballots. I don't think everybody's going to want to stand in a line. So let me make my position clear. I don't think everybody's going to want to stand in a line. People are concerned, okay? I'm only bringing up the controversy itself, not who started it allegedly or anything else. The pros and cons of the mail-in ballot system is what I'm talking about, okay? So...
You know why dead people get ballots?
I have
wonder how that works.
I have no idea why dead people get ballots.
I'll explain that to you. It's how it works in New Jersey. Unless the family tells the Board of Elections to take the person off because they passed away, they will assume that person is still alive. And what happens is, if you don't vote in two general elections in a row, they purge you from the rolls.
Okay, but I just got a text message from somebody that said that her mother-in-law has been deceased for 7 years, and they still get it. So look, here's the deal. I think that the point here.
What state is she from?
California. Look.
Well.
Look.
What is what I say?
Let me finish what I'm saying here. Okay, here's the deal. The point is that it's not totally a great system. And like with everything else in this country, there are imperfections, all right? So this is one of them. So if I'm in an election this year and it's going to be a close election, these are the things that personally would be on my mind, because why wouldn't it be? Okay? That's logical to me, okay? But there's a lot of things that this country is having to work through, okay, and adjust to because of this pandemic. And that's the end result. So me, like I said, we're standing in line. We'll put our mask on. We'll do whatever we have to do. We're going to walk into there and do the thing. We are going to vote, okay? So we're not going to do mail-in ballots. But for some people, senior citizens, some of them don't want to risk being out there. I get it. You have disabled people. I get it. You have people that don't want to get COVID or afraid of COVID. I get it. All we're doing is pointing out the pros and cons of the mail-in ballots and what the concerns are out there that are being expressed. Not whose fault it was, Jim, okay? It's just a question of who started the rumors or who started the campaign against it. These are the pros and cons, and some of these are based on studies like I've already given to you. So, hey, listen, I appreciate you calling in, but we're going to be wrapping this one up and getting to something else, okay?
Thanks. Oh, yeah, I see the clock. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Care.
All right,
bye.
Okay.
Thanks,
bye. All right.
Bye.
So at any rate, you guys, with any of these things, we always have to be concerned, and I get it, okay? There's going to be pros and cons against all of this stuff. I think the main message that I think that we need to send out there is that if you're going to vote, go ahead and make sure you're doing it on a timely basis. Get your vote in, end of story. That's how I feel about it. Not who's right, who's wrong, who started it, you know, blah, 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 okay? Jamal, any last thoughts on that before we get to the Civil War that's coming?
No.
Okay, here's the next thing. We are getting so much feedback from people, you know, and even my brother-in-law in South Carolina, he and I had a conversation about this, that, you know, these people think that there's going to be a Civil War, you know, depending on the outcome of the election, Jamal. A Civil War. What do you think?
I think it's very possible. To be honest with you, man.
Okay, now I don't want to know what you think. Okay, no,
it depends on what you mean. Is it going to be like it was, you know, back during the American Civil War? No, but you got some. I don't know. Did you see the guy that was shot the other couple weeks ago, or within his last week at the Patriots rally or something like that? And the guy was a Navy veteran. He pepper sprayed somebody, and the other guy shot him and killed him, shot him straight through the eye.
Jamal, there's a whole lot of, look, that doesn't mean, look, here's the problem. We're facing all of these issues leading up to the election, okay?
True.
This is people posturing, Jamal, in my opinion. The emotions. Once the election is over and whoever gets selected got selected, I honestly do not believe that we're going to see as much as we got. Now, look, I hate to say it this way, liberals versus the conservatives, okay? But a lot of this violence that you see really have been the majority of it. I won't say there hasn't been any, okay? Because I don't want to get the hate mail.
You're about to step in it.
Okay?
Go ahead.
That more on the, well, it's true. It's more on the liberal side with Antifa. There's no secret about that. And Black Lives Matter with some of these organizations that have been marching, not peacefully. Some of them are peaceful. Okay, a lot of them aren't peaceful. And, you know, when the election come up. So I think if Trump gets elected, okay, I think that you're going to have, you know, these violent protests and things of that nature if he gets reelected. If Biden gets elected, Jamal, I'm telling you flat out right now, I really do not believe that you're going to see people to the same degree, you know, rioting. I just don't believe that.
See, well, this is where I was talking about some of the stuff you denied with Trump, man, because that man said,
Jamal,
I think
don't
he tried
go
to
back.
Change the statement recently, but that man said they're going to have to drag him out. I can't hear you. I don't know if you can hear me, but it sounds like God came in here and interfered. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
Okay. Look, you know what? I don't even want to get into this. Here's what we're going to do. Okay? Now, I just got another text here. What about the attempt to kidnap the Michigan governor? These were an Antifa. I agree with that. Those were militia, but those are not white supremacists. There's a difference about how the media classifies these people. And nobody, not even President Trump, has the ability. If Jamal, if you get up right now and go down after the mayor of LA, nobody can control that. There's nobody control that. Those are people getting together. We've had militia issues, Jamal, down in Texas, up in Washington or Oregon. I see the time is up. It's 3:50. But at any rate, look, that's the deal. Nobody can control those people. But those are little independent little issues. The Michigan situation, where's the rioting from the right? There's no rioting from the right. These are independent little things that happen. Hey, we don't have the time of running out. Maybe we should pick up this conversation. Matter of fact, that's what we'll do. We'll pick up this conversation on the next show, Jamal.
So all right, sounds good.
Okay. All right. You've been listening to Jim and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. And now it's time to close out the show. If you like what you heard, do us a favor and spread the word. We will be back next week. We're going to continue this conversation on whether or not there truly is a civil war brewing. All right? So, and we're not worried. We already have our guns. So, no, just kidding. All right, everybody. Until next week. Thanks for listening. All right. Check out Jamal. Right. Bye.
All right. Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Radio.